Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cyfrowy Polsat Q3 2015 financial results conference call. I will now hand over to your host, Mr. Tomasz Gielniar-Grywoda, CEO of Cyfrowy Polsat. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, good evening. We shall go over key facts briefly and then discuss more in detail all the business lines. We have closed Q3 of this year with the 5.9 million contract customers. Those purchased 2.09 RGUs on average per customer, and our ARPU exceeded 88 zlotys per customer. 16.4 million RGUs delivered to our customer base, 12.4 out of those were contract services and 4 million in prepaid services. Out of these, over 10 million in telephone voice services, 4.5 pay TV, and 1.7 million internet access. I would like to underline our TV results for this quarter. Audience share of 25.2% and advertising market share 27.6%, which is spectacular. We had 2.415 million zlotys in revenue. EBITDA, 930 million, and EBITDA margin 38.5%. Free cash flow, 1.388 million. Another fact that we're particularly happy with is our net debt to EBITDA factor is now below 3. The two digits after the decimal point are there on purpose to demonstrate that we're actually under 3. Let's talk about key events of the Q3. We have closed and announced the refinancing of Cyfrowy Polsat debt, which generated interest savings at the level of 380 million per annum. That is obviously the most important development. This announcement led to a quick and, of course, positive response of the rating agencies. Our rating's been upgraded to BB+ level. Also very important fact, the results of the auction for the spectrum in a 800 and 2600 were announced. We have submitted our applications for frequency reservation decisions and patiently waiting for the Office of Electronic Communications decision in this respect. For your information, the deposits that we placed for the auction were returned to us at the end of October. Payments for the frequency reservations need to be made when we receive the reservation decision itself. At this point, we're not sure when exactly this will happen, but it's most likely that it will be beginning of 2016 rather than still at this side of Christmas. The process of frequency allocation is finalized only after the payments are made. This is for your information, how things work around here. Next slide. We have returned to the marketing communication used at the beginning of the Smart Dome program. That does not mean that we're planning to give anything away for free, since this project still focuses on achieving high RPU of the smart dumb customers. At the moment, we believe that we have the best LTE product on the market, and it also focuses on rewarding smart dumb customers. Development of the television platform towards HD standard, both from the point of view of Polsat channels as well as channels from other broadcasters. You may remember that we have switched to MPEG-4 compression standard, and that allow us, gave us some free space on the transponders that we're renting, and we made a decision that we will improve our product by introducing more HD standard channels. As I said before, we've noted outstanding viewership figures, both for the main channel and our team channels. Development of our television infrastructure, that's the perhaps not hugely significant fact, but we have invested in our own production studio that will mainly or exclusively be dedicated to Polsat Television productions, which obviously means that we have terminated our contract for the studio that I've been renting from the third party. Let's flip to the operations report part. Services to individual and business customers. A few words about that. We're observing continuing growth of the entire customer base, mainly thanks to the positive trends in each line, and those are: mobile internet growth continues. It's worth mentioning here that the new offer was introduced in middle of September, and its results will be fully visible in the fourth quarter. However, we've noticed that this, combined with the new smart dumb offer, sales volumes in October increased substantially as compared to the third quarter. In pay TV services, as we've already informed, after temporary problems with handling considerable volume of customers with expiring contracts in the first half of the year, combined with the new regulations, I believe we've discussed it previously, and another factor here that we were sort of breaking a new call center, we are returning to the positive dynamics of the volume of these services, and the trend of losing basic services has slowed down, and it's been compensated with the surplus by the growth of our multi-room services. In the area of voice services, we're observing substantial improvement of dynamics in this business line, and this is mainly driven by three factors that we can think of. First of all, much better sales volumes for B2C customers, supported by the smart dumb communication. A growing service base for business clients, and this is what we call a big B2B, and obviously lower churn and better customer retention. In our opinion, the above-mentioned developments were possible mainly because of our good market offer, which is additionally confirmed by the best M&P balance for the last 6 years. If you flip to the next slide, there's more details in regards to this trend. It's a very positive trend continuing for many quarters, and in our opinion, this is driven by several key factors. First of all, it's a good perception of our product and our market offer. We have recently refreshed our Plus brand, and among other things, we have invited our volleyball champions players to called to participate in our advertising, and this pays off. I believe relevance of our multi-play strategy, which clearly addresses the demand existing on the market. Visible weakening of the P4, which is one of the our competitors and the most aggressive one in the past. And we're seeing weakening of their sort of dynamic growth resulting from their growing customer base, which leads to a more prudent pricing policy or careful pricing policy. And we can certainly say that P4 is not as aggressive as it used to be. And we're also seeing that the actual growth of their customer base has slowed down recently. There is also a question of T-Mobile that is displayed recently several weaknesses, which obviously help us a little. It is important to note that Polkomtel or PLAS has never supported the number portability process, meaning that we've never actually tried actively beta or someone else's customers to move their mobile number to us by offering special rates and et cetera, or commissions to our sales staff for poaching other our competitors' customers, and therefore we see these results as even more satisfying because just the fact that our product is perceived as outstanding. So, in summary, if we take into account that the situation is in the telecom market is certainly stabilizing, that we are determined to further consistently implement our multi-play strategy, there are reasonable grounds to expect stability of this trend in the future. However, we will continue monitoring this indicator rather than stimulating improvement. In the end of the day, it doesn't really matter whether the customer comes back to us with the number from another network or selects a new number from our pool. It's probably worth mentioning that we are noting that customers are not attached to the mobile number as much as they were in the past. Just a few words about the growth of the multi-play customers. At the end of third quarter, we had 900,000 SmartDom customers, which I believe is, or we believe, is a very satisfying result. Already as many as 15% of all customers entered the program. However, only 25% of that number have a classic triple play offer. This shows a great potential for upselling additional products to this group in the future, obviously. ARPU of the customers in this program remains stable and considerably exceeds 100 Polish zloty. Sales results of the new offer available since the middle of October reinforce our belief that the announcement goal of 1 million customers this end of Christmas can be in fact achieved. Matter of fact, the number today exceeds 930,000 already. We're determined and undoubtedly will continue the SmartDom program next year. Whereas the first effects of the integrated offer from the point of view of customer loyalty will be visible sometime mid next year, because the first contracts from mid-2014 will be up for renewal, and we'll really see what sort of effect this program will have on customer loyalty. If we flip to the next page, We'd like to demonstrate to you the development of our revenue per customer. And it is growing both quarter-to-quarter as well as year-on-year. And we believe that this is mainly due to upselling and saturating the base with multiple services. However, an in-depth view also reveals positive trends, and those are in the mobile services and voice segment. We're finalizing the customer migration to the, new, not so new, but unlimited tariffs. We believe that in the next 2 to 3 quarters, this process will be completed. And we also believe that all the other telecoms in Polish market are in the same or similar stage, that we believe that there is a chance that the entire market will soon feel the more stability in this segment. Our interconnect revenues contribute positively to the results as price-sensitive customers are making more and more calls to other networks. On the pay TV market, we don't observe any pricing discounts. On the contrary, the results from these customers are still growing, despite some concerns about the rebates in the Smart DOM program. Internet market develops most dynamically, obviously. That's not a surprise. And even despite the price pressure, it contributes to the growth of our revenues year-on-year. Taking into account all of the factors above, as well as the effective execution of our strategy, our goal is to continue upward trend in revenue per customer in the future. A few words about the prepaid market. We're observing stability on this market from the point of view of customer base. This is obviously a very mature market. The number of active SIM cards remains at the stable level, and the new customers compensate for the customers migrating from prepaid to contract services. There has been no repricing on the market for a long time. Its value is systematically growing, mainly due to the higher data consumption on smartphones and the growing interconnect revenues, which I told you about a couple of minutes ago. Usually at these occasions, we've been asked questions about the number of prepaid SIM cards currently in our database. We decided some time ago that we'll only report the ones that are sort of been active within the last 3 months, but our interlocutors are persistent, so for those of you who wish to have that figure, the total would at this point be at 5.5 million. This is all the SIM cards that are their accounts are valid. We're not talking about the ones that are actually active and making transactions, just the ones that are active or valid. However, it's worth mentioning that recently the CEO of T-Mobile, new appointed CEO, in some public appearance, mentioned that he would like to look at their customer base in this segment and perhaps follow our lead in terms of methodology of reporting the numbers. And hopefully, if that really happens, we will have more sort of transparency in this segment and be able to compare apples and apples. Well, last but not least, our most dynamic business segment, which is the mobile access to internet. I'm sure that we have every right to call ourselves a leader of the mobile internet market in Poland. And important is that, you know, this is a growing market. This is way from saturation. The sale of this product is stimulated by our smart dome offer, and vice versa, the sale of smart dome offer is stimulated by the mobile internet offer. We corrected both offers at the turn of the third and fourth quarter, and this is already visible in the sales results in October, in the fourth quarter. On top of that, we have the best offer in the 50 to 60 slot segment, which is the most frequently selected by the customers. We've got discounts available in our smart dome program. We've got best coverage. We have the highest data transfer speed. We've got the unique on the market product, which converts or uses mobile technology to provide households with what we call a home internet, and makes it really ideal for home internet access for those living outside the metropolitan areas and away from fiberglass. Data revenues have a positive contribution to customers' revenue, and we have more and more of these customers because we already have as many as 5.1 million customers actively using data services. In general, 9 out of 10 sold phones are typically smartphones, and the saturation of our customers with the customer base with smartphones exceeded already 50%. Interesting is to mention that not all of the smartphone owners or users use data transfer services. Approximately two-thirds of those who own and use smartphones use their smartphone as internet access. This ensures the potential for the growth of ARPU of these customers in the future. Obviously, we believe that they're going to discover internet sooner or later. We also believe that apart from the price, the quality of our product delivered on a 1800 megahertz frequency and the growing coverage of our network contribute to the advantage of our offer. Coverage already exceeds 92% of Polish population. It's still growing dynamically, which is sort of visibly at the lower of the two charts on the slide. Our goal is to operate 5,000 BTSs in this network, ensuring LTE coverage to the entire population of this country. Okay, this would conclude my part of the presentation. I'll now hand you over to Maciek Stec, who's going to familiarize you with the results of our TV operation in the third quarter. Over to you.
Welcome, everybody. We achieved very good audience results in Q3 2015 in commercial target group. Our main channel, Polsat, was the market leader with 12.8% audience share and won Q3 season, including a good start of autumn schedule in September. We have continued our successful investment in TV4 programming also in Q3 2015, and finally we were also audience leader in the theme channel segment with 12.4% in Q3 of 2015. This great audience result sustained our market leader position group in Poland. We increased our audience share from 24.1% to 25.2%, and we were audience leader among all other TV groups in the commercial target group. But of course, audience results are important, but how we monetize it? our position on TV advertising market is also very strong. In Q3 2015 we outperformed the market with almost 12% growth, comparing to 6.4% market performance. Q3 audience results are very good, but as we also always mention, it's better to analyze TV trends in longer period in order to avoid seasonal effects. So in the 9 months of 2015, again we achieved very good audience result. Our main channel Polsat was the market leader with 13.2% and sustained the leader position in terms of audience share among big four TV stations in 9 months of 2015. It's a quite big success, particularly taking into account progressive audience fragmentation of the market. Our thematic channels group were also the market leader with 11.4% audience share. And finally, Telewizja Polsat channels dynamically grew audience share from 23.4% in 9 months 2014 to 24.6% in 9 months of 2015. Finally, we were overall audience share leader in the commercial target group. This audience results, of course, are great and outperform the strategy, especially that TV market is still in process of fragmentation by new DTT channels. But the same line with audience results, it's better to analyze our ad market position in the longer period than we reduce this TV seasonal cycles. And again, we achieved very good ad and sponsoring income results in 9 months of 2015. TV ad and sponsoring market grew by 4.2% in 9 months of 2015, comparing to 9 months of 2014, and we outperformed the market with 7.7% growth. Our TV ad market share increased to 26%, and it's important that we increase in market share on the growing ad market. Just to summarize my section, we achieved great audience results, and what's more important, we were able to monetize it, and we maintain our guidance for TV ad and sponsoring market growth in 2015 by middle single digit, and we estimated that a middle single digit growth will continue in 2016. Thank you.
Okay, it's financial part time.
Yeah, and I'll leave you with Tomek Szewon.
Thank you. Before I go into details, three introductory remarks. The first one is connected with the refinancing process. We signed agreements on 21st of September, and this resulted some changes in the items below EBITDA level and also in the balance sheet. We published two current reports in the last weeks talking precisely about amounts and items, categories it impacted. The second issue is that in this quarter for the first time we are comparing apples with apples in terms of individual and business customers segment. Last year, the whole quarter, we consolidated Metalen Group results as well. And last but not least, in terms of TV production and broadcasting segment, we do not compare apples with apples here because last year we had Volleyball World Cup and it impacted our results on a yearly basis considerably. Slide number 23, group's financial results. We recognize stable revenue and a decrease in our operating costs. As a result, our EBITDA increased by 20 million in nominal terms, and EBITDA margin was close to 39%. In terms of the net profit, I mentioned a minute ago, non-cash one-offs connected with refinancing impacted this level. Slide number 24, results of the segment of services to individual and business customers. Our revenue increase mainly as a result of the increase in our wholesale revenue and also equipment sales. Our operating costs, as usually, were under control. It was the increase of our technical costs connected with the development of our data product and also interconnect revenues, and it was partially mitigated by a decrease of cost of equipment sold. I will discuss it later on in more detail. As a result, our EBITDA in this segment grew by 7 million to the level of 844 million. Slide number 25, results of the broadcasting and TV production segment. Here I will use the data adjusted without Volleyball World Cup, and this adjusted revenue were up by 14%, mainly as a result of monetization of our growing audience shares, Maciek discussed a minute ago. Our cost grew by 15% and it was connected with additional investments in our programming offer of TV4 channel and also to some extent higher amortization cost of film licenses and sport licenses. As a result, it was a dynamic growth of EBITDA by 13 million and EBITDA margin over 30%, which proved once again that we outperformed the market considerably. Slide number 26, revenue and cost reconciliation. On the left-hand side, I will start with the revenue. Segment of services to individual and business customers increased by 13 million. Broadcasting and TV production decreased, but this is connected with World Cup in volleyball. The same trends in terms of TV broadcasting happened on the operating cost, minus 46 million. In terms of individual and business customers, it was minus 60, connected mostly with the decrease in amortization costs and also cost of equipment sold. Such trends in terms of the revenue and cost the EBITDA increased by both segments, 7 million and 13 million, gave us 930 million total in the third quarter of 2015. In terms of the net profit reconciliation, the biggest part colored in orange, 443 million, is connected with non-cash one-offs of refinancing, and some positive impact was also added by broadcasting and TV production segment of 14 million. And net profit in the whole quarter was 502 million zlotys. Slide number 28, revenue structure. Our revenue, as I mentioned, were on the stable level. It should be also noted that the revenue structure is still stable. 68% of the revenue come from the retail one. And retail revenue decreased by 68 million in nominal terms. It was connected with the lower revenue from the voice, but it was partially mitigated by revenue from data services and pay TV ones. Wholesale revenue increased by 25 million. This connected with the high advertising revenue of Telewizja Polsat, but also from interconnect and lease of telecom infrastructure. Sale of equipment increased by 27 million. And the main one of the main reasons is connected with the growing share of installment plan sales among the whole transactions with equipment we are concluding with our customers, and it translates directly into the increase in unit revenue per specific transaction. Slide number 29, operating cost structure. Our costs in total decreased by 5%, 92 million in nominal terms. We continue to have a diversified cost base. None of the cost item was higher than 30% share in total operating costs. Technical costs increased due to the data transmission cost connected with our data services, and also interconnect cost increased, which corresponds to the increase of the interconnect revenue. Depreciation decreased by 77 million and this is connected with the lower amortization of 1800 MHz spectrum as well as other telecommunication infrastructure. Cost of equipment sold were down by 34 million, mainly as a result of a lower volume of contracts of our telco services with equipment that were concluded in the third quarter of 2015. Here we had also a lower sale of laptops and tablets. Content cost on a very stable level, minus 5 million, which means 2%. The group of costs connected with distribution, marketing, customer relation management and retention costs increase, but here we've got the accounting issue connected with higher amount of deferred distribution fees. They are connected with the contracts concluded a couple of quarters ago, and now we can see non-cash accounting impact on this position of 19 million, which means that if this group of costs increased by 13 million, 19 million were connected with non-cash accounting issue. As a result, other costs decreased, particularly in terms of the customer care and retention ones. Salaries on a very stable level. Here we consolidated the Orsen Group we bought at the beginning of April, but still we keep these costs under control. And other costs decreased by 42 million, and here we've got also the effect of World Cup in volleyball, which was placed 1 year ago. Slide number 30, cash flow statement. We started the year with cash on hand of 1.75 billion zlotys. We generated net cash from operations of 2.3 billion. The next number is connected with the return deposit paid in terms of the auction. As CEO said, at the end of October it was returned to us. The next four numbers are connected with the refinancing process. We draw new debt on Cyfrowy Polsat and Polkomtel side. We issued the bonds of Cyfrowy Polsat in July. As a result, we repaid all banking debt of the whole group, and we serviced the interest connected with this new and old debt and high yields of Polkomtel. And as a result, the first stage of the refinancing was completed, and the second stage will be completed at the end of January when we redeem the notes of Polkomtel. Acquisition of subsidiaries, I'm talking here about Orsen Holding Limited Group and Radio PIN, 30 million. CAPEX, 553 million. Usually I'm giving you the KPI CAPEX versus revenue. In this quarter it was, in this period it was 7.67%, and I would like to maintain the guidance I gave you last time of 8% of the revenues for the whole year 2015. We closed the third quarter with cash of 1,072 million zlotys. This decrease is connected with the fact that we used our own cash flows to in the first stage of the refinancing. We didn't want to acquire additional debt and to pay interest when we had our own cash on the balance sheet. Slide number 31, free cash flow KPI. In the third quarter, free cash flow after interest was at the level of 208 million. In this quarter, usually we've got a coupon of high yields of Polkomtel. We also paid in September a UMTS annual fee. We had higher capex in comparison to the previous quarter of more or less 50 million zlotys. and what I explained to you and discussed last time, due to the agreement we signed with Midas in March this year, the third and fourth quarter schedule of payments is relatively high in comparison to the first half of the year. Last 12 months free cash flows were 1.388 billion, and I would like to say that the guidance for the whole year is above 1.2 billion. And last but not least from my section, slide number 32, the group's debt at the end of the third quarter. For the first time, our gross debt was below 12 billion on the pro forma basis. For the first time, the net debt was below 11 billion zlots, taking into consideration the stable EBITDA level of 3.6 billion. It led us to net debt to EBITDA below 3 times, also for the first time on the pro forma basis. That's all from my part. Thank you. The operator, we are ready to take the questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have the first question. Our first question is from Ondřej Cebejšek, Wood & Co. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the questions and thank you for the presentation. I have a couple. Firstly, regarding your KPIs, if you could elaborate a bit on your churn, specifically, you know, you've lost some customers in mobile. If you could elaborate a bit more on who those customers were that you're losing, if it's still B2B pressure from T-Mobile side, for example, and if you could stretch that into sort of correlation with the saturation that you're seeing, whether the customers that are leaving you are above or below the saturation average, that is, whether the churn is actually helping you increase the saturation, or if it's actually, for example, triple play customers who did not prolong their contracts from last year. Second question would be regarding the Smartdom offer. You're going back to this full price plus 50% plus 1 zloty per share offer. Does that mean that you were unsatisfied with the developments in the third quarter in terms of subscriber additions? And then just going back to the auction, what
okay,
exactly
maybe let's deal with one question at a time, okay? Because I didn't know there was more than one and I didn't record it. So let's address your first question in regarding to the customer churn. Indeed, we have lost some customers in the third quarter, and the number is around 50,000. But the analysis of this fact leads us to believe that around 40% of that number, which is 20,000, that's the effect of our customers optimizing their relation with us within one household, and it's still the case. For example, within one household, you could have pay TV registered to a husband and a phone registered to wife, and maybe one phone registered to one of the adult kids, and the Smartdom program offers them significant benefits from being on one contract registered to one name and one tax number. So in this way, we've in fact lost some tax numbers because we're monitoring the number of customers identified by an individual unique tax file number. That's one thing, and the other 30,000. Well, the good thing is that it is not the triple play customer. A note on the margin is that the first contracts that were signed by our customers in this program were signed in 2014, around mid-year. So As I said, the first test of the customer loyalty will have to pass in about 6 to 8 months from now, and that's when these contracts are up. Yes, we are obviously monitoring the value of the monetary value of the customers that we're losing, and the good thing is that usually, in most of the cases, these are single play subscribers with relatively low ARPU. Not sure where they're going. If you could look back at the slide with the MNP numbers, we're satisfied that this trend is favorable to us. So that was one question. The other question was about the Smart Dome program itself, and return to the second program for half and third for one zod. I'd like for you to sort of note that that the slogan actually says the second for half price and the third one even for one zlot. That does not mean that a customer can pick any three products and get the last one for one zlot. There is a selected number of products that we offer for that peppercorn price, and certainly we're not going to discount full value product to one zlot. This is a sweetener at the end. The slogan is catchy, and it works. We've around May this year we pulled back a little, and we decided to perhaps go after more revenue. And two things happen at the same time. We have, from the customer perspective, we have made that program a little less attractive. And in the same time, more or less, we introduce our new communication platform, and those two put together resulted in not so great results in the second quarter. So we decided to sharpen that pencil and introduce some products into this program, particularly the ones that are even for one slot. For example, that's the pseudo stationary or fixed phone that we're giving away for that. That is practically costing us nothing. Or, there are a number of products that are available in that category, and I assure you that none of them are sort of full value products. So no giving away. And the third question, I stop you from asking.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for that. And I wanted to follow up on the auction, if you could elaborate. I read today that you mentioned that you would be challenging the auction legally. If you could elaborate a bit more on the exact sort of grounds that lead you to this. And, looking at the results of the auction, it is evident that, in theory, your company could now hold to 800 megahertz companies under one roof, that is both Sferia and NetNet. So if you could say whether you're thinking at all about acquiring these companies in the future, both of them, because you're able to in theory.
Well, to start with Polsat challenging the not only the results of the auction, but also the way it's been conducted and everything around it. Like, we strongly believe that a number of laws of this country has been trespassed by the Office of the Regulator, as well as the Ministry for Administration and Digitalization, it's called that thing. In short, I mean, you do not change the rules of the game halfway through the game. This is exactly what happened. This was supposed to be an auction that it's, been at some point changed because the ex, at this point, I say minister, has changed the rules and converted auction to a tender. So this is, like, we believe that the number of our rights has been trespassed, and there's there are ways within the system, that, a legal system, that we can challenge the results, and that's exactly what we're doing. As far as the future possible acquisitions of any entities that hold frequencies, I mean, at this point, I don't believe that any of those are for sale. We're obviously talking to everybody who wishes to cooperate, but that's pretty much what I can say about it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Our next question is from Vera Sutedia, Erste Bank. Madam, please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for the presentation. There is a follow-up question that I have regarding the auction. So what I was wondering is what is your expectation for challenging the or for applying the reservation against the auction results? Are you looking for that Poland will have a new auction, so the whole sets of spectrum to be back on sale, or are you looking for damage claim? And after this is going to be allocated, maybe in the beginning of this year, what is the likelihood that you're going to keep your current spectrum? Maybe we start with that one first.
Okay, well, what we're seeking is, to answer your first question, is all of the above. And as far as our holding our portfolio of spectrums, I don't see any danger to our current portfolio. It's got nothing to do with the auction, but in our view, and not only our view, because I just read that T-Mobile and NetNet also lodged their claims. We believe that our rights were trespassed. This is what I said a minute ago. And I mean, the system you know, provides us with ways to seek justice.
And if your claim is, let's say, validated, what is gonna happen? Is there going to be the allocation is going to be cancelled? So whatever the others are getting is going to be annulled, and we start from the beginning again? Or what do you have any?
There is a lot of ifs in your question, and at this point, I don't believe that anyone could honestly answer that question with a reasonable percent of probability of being right. So I'm not going to speculate on that. I'm sorry,
okay.
But just don't have enough information.
Okay, no problem. Then on the second question is regarding NetNet. I think it's in the media. It's already written that might interested to cooperate with NetNet. Could you elaborate on that, please?
Okay, from the onset of this auction, we knew that there'll be other third parties that will secure the frequency of the spectrum, and we were saying, and we continue to say, that we open for cooperation with everybody and anybody that wishes to work with us.
So this is kind of a cooperation like you had with, let's say, Sveria or with Midas.
I can't say because at this moment this is just a like declaration of will to cooperate rather than any form of model that cooperation might take.
Okay. And on your free cash flow target, please. Your 9 months is already far above your full year free cash flow target. So, are we expecting on the fourth quarter is going to be a negative free cash flow, or is just conservative guidance?
In terms of the fourth quarter, as I mentioned during my presentation and also last quarter, please bear in mind that the schedule payments for Midas Group is much higher in the second part of the year in comparison to the first part. We are talking for the whole year when you analyze our current report of 850 million, and majority of this amount will be done or was done in the third quarter and will be done in the fourth quarter. So this is connected with these payments. And I said above 1.2 billion, you know me, I prefer to be on the safe side. I feel comfortable with this guidance, and I hope I will be able to tell you in a couple of months from now good news.
Okay, thank you. And one last one, please. And the cost of equipment is coming down, which kind of surprised me, because the equipment sales is actually up by 26%. So is this just a delay, or...?
No, this is, let's analyze it step by step. In terms of the revenue side, here we have two major factors. The first one I mentioned are installments. You recognize revenue from installments at the beginning of signing the contract, which means that revenue from this kind of sale must go up. In the third quarter, we also managed to limit our subsidies in this form of sales as well, which gave us to the revenue from equipment sale up. And at the same time, on the cost side, we didn't sell laptops and tablets, which are relatively expensive, and also there were much lower number of the transactions, volume of transactions with equipment. So we managed to use our SIM-only offers to maintain or to retain our customers, which is a less costly strategy for us, and if it's possible, we would like to maximize such retention programs.
Okay. Thank you very much for the answer.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Andrei Tabeshik, Wood & Co. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you. I have a follow-up question regarding the situation on the market post the auction, and even now with data volume going up, etc. You obviously, even on the current spectrum that you have, if you analyze what you have versus the competitors, then you are very well positioned to wholesale the market. And then, you know, if the current auction does end up with the distributions of spectrum as they were announced, then there is a sort of imbalance between the market. And my question is sort of very high level. What do you estimate the wholesale market value to be going forward? And what sort of opportunities do you see there for you? Because obviously, looking at your assets, you're the player in the market who has the biggest opportunities to serve the market there. Thank you.
Well, look, you know, first things first. Let's see what what's going to happen in terms of frequency allocations. Okay, there's still a few things that can happen, and then we'll. You know, sit down and work on ways to address the situation. You know, as the old proverb says, there's many ways to skin a cat, and there's obviously many ways for us to have access to these frequencies in different models, and there's also several ways to continue our business with what we have access to at the moment. So, you know, we at the moment, we really have plenty of capacity in our 1800 megahertz spectrum. There's a number of initiatives in terms of new technologies, combining frequencies, using frequencies more effectively. You know, from the beginning of this auction process, we were saying, you know, there were obviously lots of questions asked about, you know, what if you don't actually secure one. We were saying that, you know, among the other, in our market here in Poland, we were the ones that sort of needed it the least. Okay, we can do well without it. This being said, we opened for, and we communicated it to the market, we opened to any form of cooperation with whoever is going at the end to actually have or secure the 800 frequency, we'll talk to these parties and we'll sort out and come up with the with some model of cooperation. But it's this, at this point, really is, you know, what you're asking me is a speculation, and I wouldn't want to go down that path.
I meant also, looking at your current holding as well, because you in effect have direct, indirect access to more than your competitors combined in terms of megahertz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So once you, I believe next year you might, be active in terms of acquiring Midas, and when that happens, you will be in a great position to wholesale the market even on the current spectrum. So just to understand whether that is something that you're looking at currently already.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you. We are indeed in a very good position, and I'm glad that I'm not the only one who's noticed. And in terms of the possible acquisition of Midas, we were saying and we maintain that once the refinancing process is well and truly over, we have funds secured and we've repaid our all the bank loans, but there's still a question of high yield redemption. And this is going to happen at the end of Jan next year, and there's still a lot of work to be done. Once the dust settles, we will definitely reopen that file, and as soon as there is anything to communicate, we certainly will communicate it to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Vibhor Kumar, Citigroup. Sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. First, this more the questions on the business performance regarding your guidance on advertising business. You're saying that you're expecting mid-single-digit growth in 15, and considering you are already more than 7% growth in 9 months. So, do you expect flattish growth in fourth quarter?
We expect this year that the market in 2015 will grow by middle single digits, so it's between 4% and 5% this year. And for 2016, we estimate that it will be also middle single digit growth. And our strategy is to grow at least with the advertising market for our group, because of course, as we are largest group in Poland in commercial target group, we experience of course competition from other participants of the market.
What I was trying to say that in 9 months number, you already grew by 8%, right? So, and you're expecting flattish, 4 to 5% in 15. Do you expect any big decline in fourth quarter or flattish growth in fourth quarter? That's what I meant.
Ah, okay. So in 9 months, the market grew by 4.2% and we grew by 7.7%. And of course, we will grow this year much faster than the market.
Okay. Which means that you're the mid-single digit, which means it's higher single digit kind of number that you expect on a full year basis.
To be honest, it's difficult to say because, in fact, we are after October booking and we didn't start airtime sales for November and December, which are crucial for this quarter also.
Okay. And then the second question is on auction. It's kind of a follow-up that Andre has asked. Just in case if the auction, the current auction status stays and you need to go ahead with the current spectrum distribution and you cooperate with NetNet, do you consider some kind of soft loan to NetNet for funding the one block?
Why would we? I mean, the net is a you know, it's a sovereign company, and we're not a bank. I mean, we as I said, yeah. Well, it surprised me with that question. I mean,
what I mean to say that, for example, for Midas, you are somehow funding their LTE network by paying X money in the first 2 years. So similarly, some kind of a deal wherein you can pay some excess money in the beginning, which will indirectly fund their 800 block.
Look, at this point, it really is a very sort of hypothetical discussion, because we haven't got any proposal from network or anybody from NetNet or anybody else for that matter. You know, I did say it and I'll say it again. We have made a declaration of willingness and readiness to cooperate with everybody and anybody who secured the access to these spectrums. And you know, as of today, there's really nothing else to communicate. Everything
okay.
else, whoever says it, is pure speculation, and I wouldn't want to go down.
Okay. I'll try one more question related to auction. I know it would be kind of difficult, but just your views regarding the designated Minister of Digitization, Mr. Jinkad, what do you think that she could take some alternative measures apart from the cancellation of the current auction outcome? Will make you happy? I mean, what do you think could be better apart from the spectrum cancellation?
Well, you know, there was a similar question a few minutes ago, and I said that we believe that our rights were trespassed, and we're seeking justice. And justice, as you know, has got many faces, and you know, all of these scenarios would give us satisfaction. I mean, you know, overturn, seek compensation. I don't know, one of the above. And again, this at this point, you know, you're asking me to speculate on.
No, I mean, I'm just considering the scenarios which might be helpful to your thought process. Maybe some kind of reinvestment of the money, which it has been discussed quite a lot. Do you think that could be kind of a step which will help all the operators to let this auction to go away from the legal hurdles?
Well, if I understand correctly, what you're asking me is just, again, this is a let me make sure that I understood the question well. You're asking me whether we're expecting any sort of decisions from the regulator and the government to reinvest the funds from the sale of the frequencies back into the industry to help the you know, in the process of digitalization of this country. Is that what you were asking?
Yes, and hence all the legal challenges by the operators could be avoided by doing this.
Well, it is. I mean, it is possible. I've heard these opinions. You know, obviously the subject is hot, you know, within our industry, and there's lots of opinions being shared, and some of them really, you know, are leading in this direction. But this is really a decision out of our hands. I can't really comment.
Okay, no problem. And just lastly, regarding your strategy on this market share and profitability, I was just wondering, considering your marketing strategy regarding the multi-play offer Smart Dome,
yeah.
I believe somehow you scale down and then again you increase the marketing efforts lately in Smart Dome. So I'm just trying to understand what kind of strategy is behind changing, scaling down, and then increasing it. So is it because of your thought process on profitability?
I believe I've shared my thoughts on that during the presentation, but I'll rephrase it a little. What we what we're doing is the obviously we care about the market share as well as we care about the profit and oh, the revenues and profit, right? That's natural. And the sales of Smart Dome program were, you know, in our opinion, a little overheated. So we've adjusted the offer that was in our opinion good enough, not as good as it was, but it was good enough. That combined with our new communications platform gave results that were unsatisfying, and usually this is what happens. I mean, you try your best, you put together a product and you take it to the market, and it's the market that really will assess you and verify you whether you're right or wrong. And it turns out that we've, you know, overdone it slightly, that we've underestimated the market. So, you know, it's trial and error. That it didn't work, so we changed it back to, you know, slightly more attractive offer, and we believe that at this point we've got it right. That's all there is to it.
Okay. Thank you so much for answering all the questions. And best of luck for next
Thank
year.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Our next question is from Vera Supedia, Erste Bank. Madam, please go ahead.
Yes, I have a follow-up question, please. It's regarding Midas. Do you perhaps could share, I know it's preliminary, but maybe I'm trying my luck, whether you could share how you're going to buy out Midas. Is that from the free float, or is actually you're also taking over the rest of the stake of Light Knight?
Well, we did say that we would like to complete and conclude the refinancing project, and we'll sit down and work out a suitable solution to this if we indeed decide to go with this acquisition. And I assure you, madam, that as soon as we've got something to communicate, we will communicate it.
Okay. Will that the let's say you're on the part of deleveraging at the moment? So we are at close to 3, and we are trying to aim to 2.5. Will that say that they change? Let's say reverse the path of deleveraging.
Well, I'll repeat that we've got at this point nothing to communicate because we haven't actually started this process. You're right. We would like to deleverage. We maintain our declaration that we will pay dividend when we reach the 2.5, and at this point, that's the aim.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have no other question, dear speakers. Back to you for the conclusion.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. I hope that we've answered all your questions, we've given you all the information that you seek, and we'll speak again on the other side of Christmas. And for those, I know it's a little early, but since we're not going to be in touch within the next 3 months. I wish all of you a happy holiday season and all the best in the year. And I'll talk to you in February. Shalom.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.